What looks like a no-brainer or slam dunk can easily become a disappointment. That's certainly true in the world of politics. Recently, for example, it appeared that congressional Democrats were staring at a pretty obvious line-in-the-sand moment with the continuing resolution bill. What led to the passage of the bill in the Senate? Well, that was not really expected. Literally just 24 hours before the vote, Senator Chuck Schumer declared that he would vote for the CR, and he was joined by 9 other Democratic senators. With us now to examine the aftermath of this and what lies ahead for the Democratic Party is the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, Adam Green. Thanks for being here today, Adam.
Good to be here.
And find out more about the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. It is boldprogressives.org. So put the focus on Senator Schumer. You after that, did a flash poll. Talk about what you found and what was the voting demographic that you presented the poll to take part in?
Sure. Well, first, I would just note that even though Bold Progressives is our website, you know, the dividing line in the Democratic Party right now actually isn't between progressives and moderates. It's between those who get it and those who don't get it when it comes to treating this as an existential crisis for the future of America as we know it. And when we poll our members, what we find is that generally tracks with Democratic voters at large when we compare it to public polls. So it's pretty much Democratic voters.
Okay.
And after over 20,000 people voted on the question of, do you have continued confidence in Chuck Schumer to remain Democratic Senate leader, over 80% of people nationally and in New York, his home state, said no. And I think when we look at his actions this past week, that's pretty much a lot of people saying he doesn't get it, which is very unimpressive and sad.
And he certainly did not help his cause by canceling public appearances. I mean, he's got a book out, and he did some media stops. But as far as facing the people, he ran and hid, didn't he?
Yeah, so we were, you know, one of the groups actually organizing people to show up at his book event just to express dismay. It probably was a smart move for him to cancel those events, although, you know, our main takeaway from that is, you know, we should be channeling public anger, not running from it, right? And that's why we think it's good news that this week in at least 5 states, Democratic senators who have Republican House districts in their states where Republican House members were refusing to do town hall meetings, the senators who were Democrats showed up. That included Ruben Gallego and Jack Kelly in Arizona. It included Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden in Oregon. It included Michael Bennett in Colorado. And guess who it also included? Andy Kim, announcing that he would do 3 different Republican districts in New Jersey, which is fantastic.
Well, having followed now Senator Kim through his legislative career locally and then into the State House in Trenton, I think, and you've probably found out too, that Mr. Kim gets it, as you like to term it.
He absolutely gets it. He is one of my favorites. And, you know, we were actually the first national group to endorse his campaign for Senate. He was, you know, one of the first people we supported in the 2018 cycle, and he's just consistently a good person with his finger on the pulse who gets it. He's taken very seriously in Washington, D.C., and that's why when people like him or Chris Murphy, who also has a lot of, you know, foreign policy bona fides and stuff like that, step out and say, we need the Democratic Party to wake up and get that we're in a gunfight here, not a knife fight. And people take notice.
Now, certainly, once someone gets to sit at the front of the table, the head of the table, like Senator Schumer does now, and this holds true for Republicans as well, why is it that the generational change is just so – it's fought against so hard by those who are, put it frankly, past their prime? I mean, what has Chuck Schumer done other than stand up at a rally and say and chant, we will win, but – okay, yeah, fine, you're delivering a message and you certainly have name recognition, but if you tarnish that recognition, what's your worth and value as a leader?
Yeah, I think that last word to use is a key question of the moment. What is leader? What is leadership right now, right? When AOC and Bernie Sanders are getting 15,000 people together in stadium after stadium in swing states this week, are they a leader or is Chuck Schumer the leader? Or are they all leaders, right? One is an elected leader among their caucus, and one is actually leading the people, in my opinion, right? So I don't think that we should really defer to quote-unquote leaders as if they are, you know, coming down from a mountain with the Holy Grail or or two holy tablets. I think one of the things Chuck Schumer actually did wrong was not engage fellow senators, not engage groups like ours and others, like Indivisible, who are actually trying to organize the public as he came up with his strategy the last couple of weeks, and instead came out from behind the curtain and said, aha, I'm the leader, trust me, and my advice is to cave, right? That's like the worst of all worlds. So this is a moment for real leadership, and you know, I think a lot of younger members who aren't holding on to some of the norms, some of the collegiality of the past, recognize that this is a moment where those norms are already scrapped. And that's why I was very telling this week when Chuck Schumer was on Chris Hayes' MSNBC show and was asked just flat out the basic question, do you think we have a constitutional crisis right now? He said, not yet. And a lot of people were like, whoa. This is not my leader, right? That was a problem. And he actually reversed that yesterday, but that shows it's not authentic. We need people who authentically get it and are actually willing to lead the public. And one thing I would actually say that in praise of Chris Murphy, he was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart this week and said something that's really stuck with me. He said, this is going in a direction where we are going to need hundreds of thousands of people in the street eventually. Not thousands, not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And that, I think, is true. It is, you know, the American people will ultimately need to be the leaders of, you know, repelling Trump from the system. And that's why I think that these town hall meetings that Democratic senators are doing in Republican districts and rallies that people like Bernie and AOC are doing are so important, because they're building muscle memory. They're showing people who show up, you're not alone, right? You're not just like absorbing this in on your TV screen or on your computer screen. You're looking around and seeing thousands of people with you, and you get the sense that, oh, when the moment comes and we have to go in the streets and show that the public will not tolerate this anymore, for instance, if courts are not being obeyed by Donald Trump, I will not be out there alone. There will be thousands of people with me. And that is the muscle to be building at this moment.
Well, we're certainly seeing it at both the rallies, the town halls at the GOP candidates, even though the GOP leadership has said knock it off because it's not working for us. Just go hide for a little bit and maybe this will blow off, which I doubt that's going to happen. But going back to what you said too, what Schumer said initially on the Chris Hayes show, it's not a constitutional crisis yet. Okay, let's just say he's accurate. Not right, but let's just say he's accurate with that. Why do you not work to prevent it from being a constitutional crisis instead of waiting it to become a constitutional crisis before you take any actions? You know, why wait for the fire to start? Prevent the fire from starting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think Chris Hayes' argument was more like, the fire has started. Why are you waiting for the entire forest to burn down to start fighting it, right? For any parents out there, the analogy might be, yes, you have a failing out of school crisis if you fail out of school. But if you get F on your first test and F on your second test and F on your third test, you're spiraling. You're in the crisis. You don't have to wait until the final result to know that you're there. You have to start improving, right? There's many analogies we could use. And, again, I think Schumer, this really gets to, again, the collegiality word I mentioned. Like, why is it significant that Democratic senators are going to the home districts of Republican House members in their states? And, therefore, it's like, you know, I'm not gonna call them out publicly, disagree with them, and do my thing. And it's like, no, we are not in the moment of collegiality right now. These people are voting to take away with democracy with Donald Trump, and if they won't listen to their constituents, we need to prove to them that Republicans in their district, Trump voters in their district, veterans in their district do not approve of them and Donald Trump. And that's why it's so important that they're willing to break the norms.
Start with Adam Green, who's the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. BoldProgressive.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So with all this being said and getting more into your wheelhouse, Adam, as far as recruiting candidates, I mean, it's great to say we're going to bring in more Democratic voices as voices with a message for leadership, but there has to be variables. For, you know, for example, let's come back to New Jersey. We have Josh Gottheimer, who defeated a guy who was MAGA before there was MAGA, Scott Garrett, back in a couple of elections ago in a red district in blue New Jersey, and has really worked to turn it into a purple district. Would Josh Gottheimer work in Southern California? Maybe not. Probably not. But do you have to really be aware of voter demo and geography before you start recruiting candidates and supporting candidates in the work that you do?
Sure, always. You have to be in touch with the electorate. And, you know, we're an organization that in the past has supported some primary challengers to incumbents, not last cycle. Last cycle was an existential fight for democracy, and it was just like, let's get across the finish line. Right now, having done this several times, this is a moment where people want change, and I would not be surprised if there are, very credible challengers to incumbents who don't show themselves to get it. That being said, let me just vent about Josh Gottheimer for a second, who I think is one of the worst members of Congress. Absolutely. He's not in touch with his district. He is a creature of Wall Street. He is funded by Wall Street. He's funded by Big Pharma. He's funded by private equity. And basically, he buys his district. And I'm happy that we have that seat for Democrats. But there was a key moment in the Joe Biden economic debate when the Democratic agenda was being pushed through Congress. Every genuine swing state House member was on board for things like lower prescription prices, less giveaways to Wall Street, less tax cuts for billionaires. And Josh Gottheimer, who's now, in a plus 10 point or so blue district, it's not even like a swing purple district, he led a bunch of other Democrats who win consistently by 20 points, by 40 points, people who are not frontline swing district members, to block the Biden agenda because he wanted more Wall Street giveaways. And then he was put on TV as a moderate. He's not a moderate. That is the most fringe position you can imagine. So I just want people in New Jersey to not be mistaken. Like, he is not a good politician in terms of having good values. He's not a good Democrat. The most compelling reason to make him governor is to get him out of Congress. But then I would just feel very bad for my home state. So hopefully he loses everything and, goes where he belongs, which is, some Wall Street bank.
Well, at least in the initial polls, he didn't even show up in the top tier, which was surprising. But he's been laying low with advertising, too, so that's not too much of a surprise, out of sight, out of mind, as far as the New Jersey voters are concerned. But just to wrap up, do you see in the conditions that we're looking at in here and now, certainly fluid that they are, that with the voting population of independents being the greatest amount of voters out there, that now is a prime time for the Democratic Party to expand its support as opposed to having people be disappointed and sitting out? In other words, do you think that now's a prime time to recruit not just candidates, but voters who are disenfranchised as independents first and foremost, and maybe even some Republicans? There's no rule against Republican flipping to being declared independent and even a Democrat and joining an effort against what we see now in what is leadership in Washington.
Absolutely. One thing I would just state right off the bat for your listeners is that people who call themselves independents are not quote-unquote moderates. There's this misperception that they represent a mushy middle. Oftentimes, these are people who are saying, the Democratic Party is not representing my values. They are not fighting for working people enough. They're not fighting billionaires enough. They're not fighting to protect things like Social Security enough. And therefore, they call themselves independents. It's more of a pox on both your houses. Both of you take corporate cash. Both of you are fighting for corporations. So this is a moment, especially after losing the 2024 election and getting outflanked by Donald Trump on economic issues, for Democrats to really side with unions and working people and everyday people against corporate abuse, credit card companies ripping us off, banks ripping us off, price gouging at the grocery store or by the health insurance industry. And we have an opportunity. We do polling all the time. These are not 50-50, 51-49 issues. These are like 80-20 issues if the Democrats are willing to challenge corporate power, including some of their donors, and do exactly what you said, win over these independents who are not to the right of the Democratic Party. Oftentimes, it's about top for some of them, and they want the Democrats to be fighting those at the very top on behalf of everybody else.
And learn more about this effort by the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, their website, boldprogressives.org. He is their co-founder, Adam Green. Adam, thank you for helping, I think, a lot of people understand that party loyalty has its place, but if the leadership is not being justifiably worthy of that loyalty, then as a voter, there's certainly another place for you then, for you to give that loyalty and support to, and I think your campaign empowers people to do just that. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much.